One, two, three, four.
Hello and welcome to episode 33 of the Behind the Curtain Ministry Podcast. I am Noah Filipiak, your host, and if you are tuning in to Behind the Curtain for the first time today, I would encourage you to check out the rest of the podcast. The basic format of the show is I bring in a guest who is a ministry leader, and we talk about what it's like to really be in ministry leadership, how to have our identity in Christ in such a way when we're pulled in a million different directions, that ministry is a bit different behind the curtain than it looks on the surface. Usually, these guests are authors or pastors, musicians, athletes, and their struggles that we all face in a world that is getting crazier and crazier by the day. You can catch up on those episodes at my website at acrossroads.net, where you can find links to different books written by the guests and all sorts of different social media links for them. And of course, you can subscribe to Behind the Curtain on iTunes and at Podbean. Today's episode will be a little unique. First, I will be interviewing Dr. Ravi Zacharias. Dr. Zacharias and his colleague Abdu Murray are coming to Michigan this week. Today, as I record this, it is February 3rd. On Tuesday, February 7th at 7 p.m., Dr. Zacharias and Abdu Murray will be at the University of Michigan, 7 p.m. at Hill Auditorium. It is a free event. And the next day, Ravi and Abdu will be in my neck of the woods at Michigan State University right down the street. That is Wednesday, February 8th at 7:30 p.m., and that is being held at the Breslin Center. Both events are free. The Breslin Center is the basketball arena that Michigan State plays in. It is a huge, huge facility. So we are really hoping that area churches, area listeners, area college students in both cities reach out to their friends and come to this event. It's really a unique opportunity. It's being sponsored by CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. And after my interview with Dr. Zacharias, I will be sitting down with Brian Langford. Brian is the co-director for Michigan State University's CRU chapter and has played a big role in bringing Ravi and Abdu to Michigan this coming week. I'll tell you a little bit about Ravi if you're not familiar with him and his ministry. Ravi, he's the founder and president of Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. Their website is rzim.org. As always, I will have all of these links on my website at acrossroads.net. I'm doing a special link for this episode at acrossroads.net/Ravi. That is R-A-V as in Victor, I. Ravi is the founder and president of RZIM, and he's spoken all over the world. He's been doing this for 44 years. He's spoken in scores of universities, most notably Harvard, Dartmouth, Johns Hopkins, and Cambridge. He's authored and edited well over 20 books, including the gold medallion winner, Can Man Live Without God? He's also authored titles such as Has Christianity Failed You?, Why Jesus?, and Beyond Opinion. His latest books are Jesus Among Secular Gods and Why Suffering. Both of those two are co-authored with Vince Vitale. Ravi's appeared on CNN and Fox and other international broadcasts, such as the Behind the Curtain Ministry podcast. I threw that one in there. That hasn't quite made it onto his official bio on his website yet, but we're working on it. But he does have a weekly radio program called Let My People Think. It airs on 2,337 outlets worldwide. RZIM is headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, and this is pretty cool. It has additional offices in Canada, India, Singapore, the United Kingdom, the Middle East, Hong Kong, Romania, Turkey, Austria, Spain, and South Africa. Dr. Zacharias and his wife Margie have three grown children, and they reside in Atlanta. So what you'll be listening to is 10 minutes of conversation with Dr. Zacharias and myself about the upcoming event and about tough questions about the faith. What the upcoming event is at Michigan State is called Ask Anything. and ask anything. I assume the one at University of Michigan will be similar to this. The one I've been involved in and planning and promoting is the February 8th event at Michigan State. But ask anything. Ravi will speak and Abdu Murray will speak. And then after that, there will be an open mic Q&A time with the crowd where you literally can ask anything. After hearing these few minutes with Dr. Zacharias, you will realize that you will want to be at this event and you are going to want to bring some friends. Without further ado, let's talk to Dr. Ravi Zacharias.
Ravi, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. We're very excited to have you come to East Lansing this week.
Well, I'm looking forward to it very much. I was in Arizona State University a couple of days ago, and there was a lot of excitement there. We're doing three or four university forums in the next few weeks, so coming into Michigan and doing two of them there at University of Michigan and Michigan State, excited about it.
I'm curious, so the event here at Michigan State, it's called Ask Anything, and you will be speaking, and then there's the open mic Q&A, and I assume that's something you do pretty frequently. What are some of the most common questions that you currently are getting at those open mic Q&As?
You know, it's interesting, Noah. Actually, I've done this now for over three decades, and the foundational questions really don't change.
Wow, yeah.
The existence of God, the struggle with meaning, the issues of absoluteness and relativism and all of those, the ability to know the truth. Why does all this matter? What about all other worldviews? But while those are the underlying questions, because of the cultural shift in our time, other issues do come to the fore. Struggles with the issues of pluralism, choices of private life and lifestyle. Now all of a sudden the issue of open borders, refugees, all of this. People are going more with the nuances of our time rather than just foundational questions. So I think that is a bit of a shift. But underlying all of that is the questions remain unchanged.
As you've done so many of these, obviously you've seen fruit from them, I'm sure. Every event is a little different, but in your own words, as people are listening and deciding if they should come to the event this Wednesday at the Breslin Center, if they should bring a friend, what would you say to someone who's considering coming? Why should someone come to an event like this?
Well, I think more than ever, I would suggest to them that interacting on life's definitive issues is critical at this time in our cultural history. If we are not willing to interact with perspectives and counter perspectives, we end up only alienating ourselves from each other and giving the impression that truth doesn't matter anymore. I know we are living in a post-truth generation, but the fact of the matter is people know ultimately the truth does matter, and they want to live by it at least or know how to find the truth. So I would encourage people to come, because at the heart of it all lies the search for meaning, the search for fulfillment, the search for learning to live with each other and our differences. And I think in what we do philosophically, dealing with ethical issues, sociological issues, philosophical issues, and religious truth matters, that it will be a worthwhile evening just to hear and interact. And I think everyone goes away better informed and more realistic about the matters that either divide or unite us.
Yeah. In your most recent book, Jesus Among Secular Gods, there's a chapter called Love the Truth. And I was struck by the point that you and Vince bring out, that in this culture, there's this idea that we're not allowed to disagree. And there's an example you have in there with on a college campus. The interviewer is a 5'9 white male, and he could not get a college student to disagree when the interviewer was claiming that he was actually a 6'5 Chinese woman. And I found that to be so scary. I mean, it's a funny anecdote and so scary as well because of what it shows, where we're at a point in our culture where the cardinal sin, the worst thing you can do, is disagree, even to the point of something so obvious as that the student couldn't tell him. Well, if that's right for you, if you feel like in your heart that you're 6'5" and you're Chinese, so my question is this is a overly dramatic way of phrasing it, but I mean, is there hope for this culture, this Western culture that we live in? As I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, you know, and I'm bringing children into this world. What does the future hold? Is this truly going to be the worldview that dominates our culture?
Well, I think sometimes these worldviews become an exasperated response to frustrations.
Yeah.
While not exactly faddish, they do have a lingering effect. However, isn't it interesting when we think that it doesn't matter, it's okay if that's what you want to believe. But take a look at the political scene right now. People know it does matter what the other person believes. And all this agitation, all this dissent, all this anger, all this hostility is because they realize what the other person believes does matter. And the challenges that come. So we may like to say that in order to seem very ironic and very, you know, conflict oriented or whatever. But when it comes down to the rubber meeting the road in life, we find out it does matter how we treat each other, and civility does matter. We're losing all of those along the way. And most important, as Mortimer Adler said in his great books of the Western world, more consequences for life follow from this one issue of your belief in or disbelief in God. Will Durant made the statement, the greatest question of our time is going to be not East versus West, North versus South, capitalism versus Marxism. The greatest question of our time is going to be, can man live without God? So we recognize that if more consequences follow from that, and if we have to ask the question, can we really exist without a transcendent input into our worldview, then we must be able to dialogue and debate whose worldview is more cogent, more coherent, and more relevant. So truth and relevance matter. Truth is not just a cerebrally driven propositional statement. It has implications for life. And therefore, we deal with these questions. And everywhere we go, the audience are really packing out the auditoriums.
You know, there's this idea, especially the more intellectual and academic the environment and people get, that if you believe in God, you're not smart. You know, believing in God isn't smart. And so someone who's smart and enlightened and intellectual say, I don't have a God or God yet. You point out that there are gods in Western secularism.
Of course.
And I'm wondering if you can kind of describe what you mean by that.
Yeah, nature abhors a vacuum. We may live under the illusion of neutrality, but we are not neutral. And so the gods we deal with are humanism, scientism, relativism, hedonism, pluralism, atheism, all these isms that take the place when God is dislodged or put away from the center of life. Somebody, you know, as Muggeridge used to say, it's going to be if God is dead, then somebody's going to have to take his place, megalomania or erotomania, the clenched fist or the phallus, Hitler or Hugh Hefner. These issues do matter, demagogic ideologies or hedonistic exploits. They do matter. And so if God, it doesn't exist, somebody takes his place. And as Chesterton also said, the tragedy of disbelieving in God is not that a person ends up believing in nothing. A lawsuit is much worse. The person ends up believing in anything. That is where we are now. The anything goes. And as Jean-Paul Sartre, in the end of his life, contended that this neutrality towards absolutes is an illusion. You cannot live that way. He ultimately had to voice his opinion on the Vietnam War, whatever was taking place at that time, and the existential neutral position of so long as I find meaning, I'm okay, became impossible to live with. And especially now, with the challenges of Islam, even within itself, leave alone outside itself, Islam is in turmoil within itself. The battle that we are witnessing is not Islam versus the rest of the world, but Islam within itself as to what is my true belief and what am I going, so that they may end up even killing each other over a battle that is going on. And that will have a bearing on all of future history. Which of the two dissenting views within that worldview alone is going to force the West to ask the hard questions? What is our worldview based on? Is it based on the assumptions within that worldview, or is it based on the assumptions of a Judeo-Christian worldview? And we have to learn to talk about this cordially and in a civil manner, because it's going to affect our children, our grandchildren, and all of future history.
Wow. The way you worded things, it reminds us how much is at stake. And there's so much at stake. Often we think only for our own lives, and that's true. Our own eternal destinies, afterlife, very true. Also for all of society. Ravi, we are so excited to have you come to Michigan. Know that there are tons of people here praying for you. You're going to be at the University of Michigan, just so listeners know, and this will be all posted everywhere where this interview is. University of Michigan in Ann Arbor on February 7th. That is Tuesday at 7 p.m. And then coming to my neighborhood the next day, February 8th, at Michigan State University, which is a free event at Michigan State University at 7:30 p.m. at the Breslin Center. We're praying for you, brother. We're so grateful for you, and we can't wait to have you here in our neck of the woods.
Thank you so much. I'll be joined by Abdul Murray, and both of us will be there.
We cannot wait to have both of you. Thank you, brother. Blessings to you, and we will see you soon.
Blessings on you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, we are back in studio now with an in-studio guest. I'm here with Brian Langford. Brian, what do you think of my amazing studio?
Oh, I think it's amazing. I especially like the princess dolls and the figurines in the background.
That is a nice touch. I thought you would say you like the cat on the table that's always up in your business, and my dog, who I haven't figured out what to do with because she won't stop barking at us.
Yes.
So nothing but the best here on the Behind the Curtain Ministry podcast. But what you just listened to was Dr. Ravi Zacharias. That was just recorded a couple hours ago over the phone. And now I'm sitting here with Brian Langford. Brian is the campus director for CRU at Michigan State. And CRU's chapter at MSU is very large. And Brian, how many years have you been working with CRU at MSU?
This is my 17th year at MSU.
Wow. So I'll kind of ask you two questions at once and pick whichever one you want to answer first. But I'm wondering why you and your team decided to bring Ravi to MSU, as well as you look back at 17 years of doing ministry to college students on a public university, what are the faith questions that college students are struggling with today?
Okay. The first question, why? We have found that students have so many questions, big life questions about God, existence, the exact thing that Ravi speaks about. But often they don't believe there's answers. And if there are answers, they don't really want to trust the church. They don't really want to trust others. So we thought we would do this not just to have Ravi and Abdu answer their questions, but to get the students at Michigan State engaged with their friends in talking through these hard life questions. And so in many ways, this event is a kickoff. We want these questions to be raised, but we want the students of our ministry and all the other student groups on campus to actually be in dialogue with their friends about the big questions of life.
I can jump in there and just say, as a pastor as well, I've been really encouraged by this event and very thankful that you guys are putting it on, because it's this event, nor the one at University of Michigan the day before, they're not exclusively for college students. You guys have done a great job reaching out to all the area churches. We've been promoting this event at my church for several weeks now. And what I keep telling people is, as a pastor, I can only invite my friends to church maybe four times, or with them saying no every single time until it gets kind of weird. to keep asking.
Yeah.
And this event gives me an opportunity to invite all of those friends again. You know, I founded our church 10 years ago. And so I've asked everyone I know to come to my church, and people I haven't been able to talk to about faith issues for years that now I can invite to this. And I'm just really excited about that. It's a great evangelism opportunity for me and the connections that I have. And my prayer is that churches will see it that way. And I've seen on Facebook and things that several other pastor friends of mine are promoting it. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. And our students feel exactly like you do, that there's something safe about inviting to one event.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to tell you the reason why they don't come back.
Right. Yeah.
And so if they come to your church and they don't like it, they're going to feel guilty.
You're right.
And they don't want to do that to you because they're your friends. But they could come to an event that's not your thing.
Yeah.
And so it's easy.
Well, and there's even a healthy debate within church of like what Sunday morning church is for. Mm-hmm. And we go back and forth on that at Crossroads. Our church was founded as a church that was meant for people who don't go to church. And we want it to be evangelistic every single Sunday. But at the end of the day, the church definition is a body of believers. And so mm-hmm. it is a body of believers. We're worshiping God. We're singing songs that a non-Christian college student or whomever, someone living in the city, they're kind of wondering, why are you singing to that God that I don't mm-hmm. believe in? You know, those sorts of things. So an event like this is unique because it really is catered towards what some would call the seeker. It's catered towards those who are struggling in their faith, even believers. Even last night, as I was talking to some of the students from Crew, I was with Brian last night in the students speaking, and several students came up to me afterwards and said, I'm a believer, but at this phase of my faith, I'm away from home, I'm away from my parents, my home church, and this is the first time I've ever had doubts. Mm-hmm. And they're looking forward to this event for that same reason, so that they can have a space that they can try to get some of those doubts answered, and I was able to interact with some of them. So that was a big encouragement as well.
That's true, and that's both those things you mentioned, the local churches, getting the partner with the community is exciting for us.
Yeah.
So with that, we needed the Breslin for that to happen. Mm-hmm. The Breslin will be able to seat 10,000 people. All the stuff on campus, all the venues would have been 2,000, and so we would have had to limit it to student only.
Gotcha.
And that would have been awkward trying to kick pastors, you and your friends out.
Right.
Like, but we want this to be for students, and so we prayed we'd get the Breslin. And it's amazing that we even got the Breslin, because you have to work around the men's basketball schedule, the women's basketball schedule, and a day on either side because they have to put the floor in for the event. And so the odds were very low. And then there's construction going on at the Breslin. So the construction workers actually had to sign off on us doing this.
Wow.
And so it's a big miracle that we got to have this.
And it's not that MSU is like some kind of Christian campus either,
right,
that they would be like, oh, great, a Christian evangelistic event. We're all for that.
Yes.
So,
yeah, but for some, even I think they were doubtful that the construction workers would okay this because it makes it more difficult for them. But they said yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And so we're thrilled to be able to bring all the churches together. And I think that's a good witness to our community as well, that we're united. Every Christian group I contacted mm-hmm. at Michigan State is excited. Great. And on board with this, as well as every church that we talk to. Mm-hmm. And many churches that we don't even have contacts with are behind this. And so that's encouraging, that the body of Christ is working together to make him known and to actually impact people that don't know him.
Yeah, that's very exciting. And this is not the reason I had you on here, but I will say to listeners, this event is free to those coming, but it's not free to put on. And as you mentioned, it's a big ordeal to rent the Breslin Center, to have them change the floor out, to do all these sorts of things. The number that I had heard was in the 20,000 range, and Cruz is footing a big part of that bill. And so, listeners, what Crew has been doing is offering people like me and you, the old joke that college students don't have any money. So it's not like the Crew students, if they pass the hat around, are really able to help a lot with the actual expense of this. And so if you're listening and you're local and you want to support this event, or you're just from some other part of the country or the world and you say, yeah, I want to be about this sort of thing happening on college campuses, a couple of websites that you can check out I know when you're listening and you hear a URL, you're not going to follow this. So what I would encourage you to do is just go where you always go if you're a regular listener, and that's my website, which is at acrossroads.net, and I'll have all the links to Ravi's books and to the event itself, and we'll put these websites there. But basically, it's give.cru, which is cru.org, and there's a number. It's 228-4720. But really what you can do is just Google Michigan State Crew Give, and you'll find that website. Another website that you'll definitely want to check out and share with your friends is askanythingmsu.com. And if you're like me, the Facebook event page is the place to be. So please share that with your friends as well. I will link to that on my website, but that is simply look up Ask Anything, and you will find the event coming up for this coming week. Brian, I wanted to ask you a little bit, like I like to do with my normal guests on the show, is what's it like to do the ministry that you do? So you've been for 17 years working with college students at MSU with CRU. Why do you do it, and what is it like?
Why I do it, and why actually probably why I continue to do it as you get older, is I believe that if we impact college students, we're going to impact the whole world. And when I look at the world, I see so many needs, it's overwhelming. And I think, what can I do with all the needs of the world? And I see Michigan State as a sending ground. And so our vision, our dream, is that we will reach students, help them develop in their faith, become leaders in their faith, and send them everywhere. And we, I think at this moment, we have people on every continent except for Antarctica and Australia, but we may have someone in Australia now, and they're living for God. And many of some of those are full-time missionaries with CRU or other ministries, and some of them aren't. They're working in these countries, but they're making Christ known. And so that's a big part of our vision. About 10 years ago, I was even questioning that myself. Why do I do this, and am I going to continue? And I did a whole bunch of interviews. I interviewed pastors. I interviewed business leaders, all Christians. And I just said, what is your greatest need? And specifically, they said they need men who live for the Lord. And so that's also motivating to me. It's obvious that there's many women that live for the Lord and make him known, and I thank God for that, and we want to keep sending those women all over the world, but we need men who are going to live for Jesus and make him known, and who are going to lead their families, and who are going to love people well. And so that's some of the big vision of why I continue to work with CRU at Michigan State.
And I'll say this, as my cat and dog start to fight in the background, I've been at my church here in Lansing, and for those that aren't familiar with the area, I mean, Lansing and East Lansing are, they're completely connected. They're a mile. I mean, they touch each other. There's no interstate between. It's basically one large city sort of area, and my church has always been a mile to 2 miles away from campus, even though we're in downtown Lansing. And what I have noticed is whenever we have CRU students come to our church, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, they are extremely equipped to be leaders in the church. CRU is a parachurch organization, but the way that it strengthens the church is profound. The discipleship that they've gone through, it not only... CRU's doing something right. I'll just say that. I mean, there's a system in place that really, really works. Even the way that CRU students do evangelism, the boldness they have for evangelism, it's, you don't see that in the church. You don't see that in adult Christian life, and it's very refreshing. Often our CRU students who are at our church, you know, they graduate and move away. Some of them stick around, and I see those students. I'm so thankful for the ones that get to stick around. I see them almost like I would see someone who's gone to seminary or Bible college. That's the type of leader that they are. I can look to them automatically. If I need someone to be discipled, which is all the time at our church, or if I need someone to lead a discipleship group, I look to crew students. And so I'm just very thankful for that. And it's just been something I've seen consistently over the years, and I'm very encouraged by.
That's great. And that's encouraging for me. But I'm also encouraged that we have many good local churches here that I feel like there's a great partnership between, like, and you're one of them, that I feel like we're in this together. And that's just encouraging to be a part of that in our town.
It is. Absolutely. I think sometimes people see parachurch and church in competition or something, and I just don't see it that way. I think it could be that way. That's certainly not the way it is here in our area.
Right.
I see it as the Big C Church, and we're all a part of it.
Yep.
And college students are in such a unique phase of life, and the type of community that they have together, it's something they'll never have again. The way they're open to the gospel and the way they're open to community is something they'll never have again. Even as I look back on my college experience, it was at a Christian college. I was already a believer. But that type of Christian community that I got to have, I mean, I love my life now. I love my church. I love my wife. But there was something special and unique about that. Mm-hmm. And I see that with crew. I see that with the students there. And it's really wonderful. What I want to ask you about, because several of the students who come to my church, some of them I even get to baptize, which is really exciting, right?
Yeah.
I love, obviously, every pastor loves to do baptisms. And several of them have come to Christ through crew. That's a reoccurring theme at our church as well. And so I'm wondering, you know, I'm sure you have statistics you could give us and things like that. And I think those statistics would be pretty high. What I'm wondering is if you could kind of tell listeners just the types of students, maybe an anecdote or two, maybe one particular student that has touched you, you know, over the 17 years, or maybe just a generalization of, here's a type of student that we meet on campus. I know you do all those freshman orientation, and you have the booth there, and you're doing surveys.
Yeah,
you're going into the dorms. I mean, you're just meeting students who God has a plan for them, but they have no idea. Like they think they're coming to the student fair to, I don't know, find a club to join or something. Mm-hmm. And next thing they know, they're becoming followers of Christ and they're leaders in the church and those sorts of things. So I guess what I'm asking is what types of students are you seeing come to faith in Christ at MSU?
Great question. And I don't know that I have a good summary. I think we've been seeing all types of people.
It's just amazing.
And there are many who are churched, some sort of church, but who are not Christ followers that come to faith. And then there's people with no background at all, or very rare, like once a year they went to church.
Yeah.
And we've seen them come to faith as well. And so it has been all types of students, which is great. It's exciting when that happens. It could be international students. It could be people of different ethnicities. But there hasn't been a full-blown pattern. We have found that students are more open when their peers talk to them.
Yeah.
And so they're less likely to trust you or me.
That's so true. That's
and,
good.
And so that's why our training is so important, to train students to share with other students. And that's something I'm excited about with this outreach, is that we need freshmen to reach out to their friends or students won't come.
Yeah.
And because if you or I invite them, they're going to think we're weird. They won't come. But if a freshman invites them, they'll come. They trust their friends.
Yeah.
They don't trust you and I. And so that's been something we focus a lot on, is developing students, training students, so that they are able to reach their friends and their classmates. And I love Michigan State, because Michigan State is such a social school. It's a great school. It's academic. But they're very social people. And so our students know a lot of students. And God is going to open the door for them to get to share the good news with them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm wondering, transitioning a little bit to what we heard with Ravi and my interview with him earlier, that story that he told from it was from his newest book, Jesus Among Secular Gods. And he talked about one of their staffers. So they have a whole bunch of, you know, staff at RZIM, and they were on a college campus similar to MSU. And this 5'9" white male staffer was interviewing a college student, And the concept that we talked about, you know, there in the interview was that in our culture today, like the worst thing you can do is disagree with someone. Mm-hmm. You know, all religions are the same. And what's good for you is good for you. You know, relativism, what's good for me is good for me. So leave me alone. And this interviewer asked the student, well, if I told you I was 6'5" and Chinese and a woman, would you disagree with me? And the student said, no. If you feel in your heart that you're 6'5" and you're Chinese and you're a woman, then you are. And what is so ironic to me is that mindset is everywhere, but it really is celebrated in academic institutions.
It is.
Where we go to get educated, we go to get smarter. And I don't know if I'm, before we got on the air, you were talking about how respectful Ravi and Abdu are.
Mm-hmm.
I envy that because I need to be more respectful because that just sounds so stupid to
me
to look at someone and say, Brian, if you believe you're 6'5", then you are. Like, no, actually, speaking of the Breslin Center, if I stood on the basketball court with one of the actual 6'5 MSU players, I'm not 6'5", and he would dunk in my face, right?
Right.
How do you equip your student leaders, your staff, yourself, as you have these conversations with students, where you might get a response similar to that, maybe not as memorable as that one,
right,
but just saying, look, if Christianity is good for you, that's great, but it's not good for me, so leave me alone, you know, that sort of. But I'm not going to disagree with you, but I don't want to talk about truth with you.
Yeah, that's a hard question. How do we equip students to handle that, because those are not easy things to handle.
Yeah.
And one thing we do is we try to help our students to be able to focus on the truth themselves.
Uh-huh.
So to know the truth and be able to communicate the truth. Maybe they can't give answers to every argument that comes their way, but if they really know the good news of Christ and it's affecting their life, they could at least do that. And something we've noticed, and this has changed in the last 5, even 10 years, is many of the students that are involved with us either didn't come from Christian backgrounds, they're the first believers in their family, or if they did, they just don't know much about even the basic truths of the Bible.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to think, how do I equip them with those hard questions? When they just even need to know how to read the Bible for themselves and to learn some of those truths. So we end up focusing a lot on that and just trust that their persistence and care for their friends will bring that out. When they talk about, all truth is relative. And, in that interview, even Ravi was saying he thinks most people know that's not true.
Right.
And the thing that struck me the most is when he said that the political climate right now shows us that truth matters and what people believe matters.
Right.
Or else we wouldn't get so upset at if your candidate's in or not. And you wouldn't be so upset when policies are put into place.
Right.
And so I do think most people believe that what you believe matters. It is hard, though, because like you said, at Michigan State, other, most universities, it's actually celebrated to think that way. And it sounds enlightened. It sounds like, man, I am so enlightened because I speak in a relativistic way. And so it is hard to argue. But when you go to bed at night, I think those people even know that's not 100% true.
It was a really interesting metaphor, I guess, that he used, or illustration, comparing that belief about religion and faith versus politics, because, yes, it's very celebrated to say, I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to tell you Islam's wrong. I'm not going to tell you Hinduism is wrong. I'm not going to tell you Buddhism's wrong or Mormonism's wrong because of how, offensive that would be. So that'll be true for you, and my faith will be true for me. But when it comes to politics, blankety blank, swearing like you're wrong and I'm right, and people do—they just take on this whole new. They're these like warriors for truth, the truth that they believe in, and it shows you that relativism really doesn't hold water.
Yeah, right.
That we really, at the end of the day, we don't believe it, and I think that alludes to something else where, when it comes to faith questions, we just don't want to deal with them. It's the sort of that agnosticism that if I don't want to be an atheist because then, man, I don't want to stand before the big guy upstairs and say I was an atheist. I want to have at least one chip on the table. I'm an agnostic. But when it comes to specifics of things, I'm just going to sort of plead the fifth. And it's unfortunate to me that that is a way that, whether it's a college student or an adult, we just aren't dealing with these questions anymore.
Yeah.
In secular society, in popular society. And so, I mean, but what I was thinking of when you were talking about equipping students, and I told one of your students this last night, he was saying he's going to visit one of his friends from back home this weekend and asked me, his friend's an agnostic, and he said, what do I say to him? How do I share this with him? And I was talking to him, and at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit has to change your friend's heart.
Yes.
You know, I love apologetics. I love it. I love this sort of ask anything sort of things. But at the end of the day, we are sinful people. And mm-hmm. I told him, I said, you are planting a seed for the gospel in your friend. He might accept it right away. That seed might not mm-hmm. grow for 2 years. It might not grow for 30 years. You never know. But that's why we pray. And I said, I'm going to pray for your friend. Mm-hmm. And his friends, his buddies were around him last night. I said, have all your friends praying for your friend. And that's where we see the fruit. And I think the same is for mm-hmm. this event with Ravi coming. It's not like Ravi and Abdu are, you know, the Holy Spirit or prophets. Right. And they're going to be able to. And that's too much pressure to put on a human being. Hey, here's mm-hmm. the know-it-all, and they can answer all your questions. And by the end of the day, you're going to accept Jesus. We really will be known by our love still.
Yeah.
And like you said, we can see that love through Ravi and Abdu and the way that they present these truths. And I love that he wants people there who disagree, and he wants us to mm-hmm. learn how to disagree well. And you can tell he trusts that the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to bring forth fruit. And I think that's a really helpful thing, whether you're a brand new Christian or you're a pastor, to remember is we aren't God mm-hmm. or you're a director of a campus ministry.
Right.
You know, we aren't God. We don't change hearts. Be faithful servants and present the gospel, and God will do the rest.
Yeah. I think I have taught some apologetics to our students, and the thing I like to focus on is the listening. Nobody listens yeah. in our culture.
Right.
And so even just listening and asking questions like, well, what led you to the belief that you have? And what evidence are you using? Or just keep asking questions to understand where they're coming from, because our culture likes to argue, likes to make our point and then let someone make their point. But yeah, I think it's countercultural to actually listen to what someone says, why they believe what they believe. And most people have a whole lot of holes in their belief system. And so they can't, even a hardcore atheist can't explain. And that was something Abdu shared when he spoke at Real Life. He shared about a friend of his who is an atheist. And they talked, and Abdu's brilliant, and he does this for a living, so mm-hmm. he made some very convincing arguments, but it really came down to the fact that something horrible had happened in this guy's
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
And that's really what was driving him to atheism. It wasn't all the answers that he needed, and Abdu was able to care for his friend and listen to the pain that this guy carried around. And I've found that to be true too. And especially in Michigan State, there's a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're willing to listen and hear that and tell of a God who himself went through pain.
Absolutely.
On our behalf.
Yeah.
I think that'll make a huge difference yeah. in people's lives.
Hebrews 4:14-16. I love those verses. It talks about how Jesus went through pain, and he can sympathize with our pain yeah. because he went through pain, mm-hmm. and we can come to him boldly with that pain. And I always tell people, what other God can do can claim that? What
right.
other God can claim that they've experienced pain, and therefore they can sympathize with your pain, and you can bring it to them, to God, and God mourns with you.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts God as much as it hurts you, and those sorts of things can be very, very helpful as we wrestle through how difficult life is. Well, in conclusion, Brian, I want to ask you one more question I like to ask most of my guests, and it's just, you've been doing crew now for 17 years. It's mm-hmm. a long time. As you reflect, what are ways that you avoid burnout? And feel free to be honest if there's, you know, points where you're like, avoid burnout. I've been there. I mean, part of the reason I do this podcast, that I started it with the theme behind the curtain, is because I've struggled with burnout myself, you know, putting too much on my shoulders at one time, thinking I could do too much. And thankfully, God spared me from a very disastrous type of burnout. But I'm in a point now where I just love to get advice from people, especially those that have been down the road further than me. Just for you personally, what types of practices or what types of rhythms, just anything at all that has helped you do this for 17 years. That's a long time.
The rhythm part is my feeding my own soul with the word. It's just been life-giving to me. I'm best, and I know it's different for other people, but I'm best when I'm studying a book of the Bible and I'm working my way through it and I'm letting it into my soul and to speak to me. And when I don't have that, I think is when I'm in danger of burnout, because I'm not putting fuel in. And so that's one, that's probably the rhythm for me that matters the most. And one of the things it does is it reminds me I'm not God, because it describes God and I'm not him.
Right.
And I think the times I've been on the verge of burnout is when I, like you said, put too much on my shoulders. And if I don't do it then, or if I don't do this, then it won't happen.
Yeah.
And we care so much. That's why we're in vocational ministry, is we just care. And so we want to see things happen. And so whether it's an individual's life that we just carry that burden, or whether it's reaching a campus or a country, that's too much.
Yeah.
And so coming to grips with our limitations helps you not get into burnout.
Absolutely. The Messiah complex.
Yes.
When I was in college and I was just an RA and doing all kinds of crazy stuff around the city, one of the RDs said, resident directors was like, you have a Messiah complex.
Yes.
And it's taken me, well, however many years ago that was now, 12, 13, 14 years to unlearn that. But it starts with that passion. I want to save the world. And then God has to humble you and say, look, I've already saved the world. I need you to serve me and be faithful. And I love hearing it from other leaders of kind of the channel that you get to experience that truth in. And I love that, hearing you say, when you read scripture, it reminds you it's about God, and it reminds you that you're not God.
Yeah.
And that's just a great lens to put on when we go to read the Bible, whether you're a ministry leader or not. That's awesome.
The Bible was written to us and for us, but it's not about us.
Yeah.
And when it's about us is when I think burnout can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in conclusion, I just want to remind listeners of the two events coming up here in Michigan this week. Today is Friday, February 3rd, when we are recording this. And the event that Brian and I have been talking most about is the event in our neck of the woods, which is February 8th at the Breslin Center, 7:30, and it is free. And we are really encouraging listeners to come and invite friends to this event. The day before will be a similar event at the University of Michigan. So that is February 7th at 7 p.m. It's also being hosted by Crew, and Ravi and Abdu will be there at the Hill Auditorium. Doors open at 6:30 and the event starts at 7. So this concludes episode 33 of the Behind the Curtain Ministry podcast. If you are checking out the podcast for the first time, I would encourage you to check out some of the other interviews that we've done. You can go to iTunes to subscribe, or also Podbean. And as always, I will put links to how to donate to this Ravi Zacharias event for Crew. I will put links to some of Ravi's books. And, of course, links to the events themselves at acrossroads.net/Ravi, R-A-V-I. Until next time, I will see you behind the curtain and at a crossroads. Thank you.
Thank you.